Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, another June 3rd, was written by Marion Voigt and is presented as a tribute to the work of the New York Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund. Today is June the 3rd, 1956. Many things have changed in New York City and everywhere since another June 3rd, the June 3rd, 1877, to which we return. But one thing is not too different from now. The slums, clustered then in the Lower East Side and along the Bowery. June 3rd, 1877. The crowded, reeking, clamorous Bowery is baking in an early heat wave.
Hey, you want to play?
But the pushcart peddlers are out in full force, as always.
Pots and kettles, get in here. Keep us on the Bowery.
And the drunks.
The Bowery, they say such things and they do such things.
And the children.
Joey! Hey, Joey!
Hey, look out there, sonny. You want a good kick, huh?
Ah, go on. Right. You can't even walk. Joey! Ah, here you are. And Lottie.
Jake,
you got ice. A great big piece. Where'd you get it? It's all off an ice wagon in front of Mother's Beer Garden. You should have been there, Joey. I had to fight Mikey and Tony for it. Didn't you hear me holler? Nope. Didn't hear a thing.
Well, come on. Let's break the ice and I'll have a piece.
There you are. One for you, one for Joey, one for me.
Oh, don't it feel nice and cool on your tongue?
Feels good just holding it. You know what it reminds me of?
The country.
The country? What country?
Yeah, the country. It reminds me of the country, too.
You two talk like you've been to the country sometime. You've never been no closer to the country than I have.
I remember what that minister used to tell us about it. You know, that red-headed minister used to be at the mission house.
That's right. Have you forgot the stories he told us, Jakey? All about how there's grass and flowers everywhere in the country in the summer.
No, I ain't forgot. I remember.
Trees, too. Like at St. Mark's Square. But everywhere.
He was a nice man, that minister. He gave me a plant once. All for my own. But it died in the winter.
He gave Ma a book. It had pictures in it. Of the country. Cows, too. What a good pictures are. Come on, let's do something.
Grant Minister. He's off in the country now himself.
Yeah. Probably cool as anything in the country.
Must be kind of like heaven. Trees and grass and flowers everywhere.
Pots, pans, kettles, get in here. Cheapest in the Bowery.
Oh, come on, Joey. Stop thinking about it. Let's go look for a fire or something. Stop thinking about the heat and everything.
June 3rd, 1877. The young minister of whom the children spoke was off in the country. A long way off as distances went in those days. It was an all-day trip to Sherman, Pennsylvania. Population 50. It's warm even in Sherman this June 3rd, but Mrs. Babcock is bustling about her big kitchen as efficiently as ever, getting breakfast for the young minister who boards with her.
Sakes, but I'd think it was August.
Good morning, Mrs. Babcock.
Oh, Reverend Parsons, good morning to you. Did you ever see such a day for June?
It is rather warm, isn't it? We think it is, anyway, because we're not used to it. But anybody from the city would think this was wonderful.
Well,
especially down in the Bowery. I've been thinking of what it must be like there today. All the dirt, the crowding. That's bad enough any time.
Oh, horrible, that's all. Well, New York and all its works could be banished off the face of the earth, and the earth would be a better place.
Well, yes, the Bowery should be banished, but you sound as though the people should be, too.
Drinking, thieving, killing, night and day. Why, they're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord didn't have too much patience with them.
Now, Mrs. Babcock, there are plenty of people, even in the Bowery, whose only crime is poverty.
I'll wager there aren't many. New York's a wicked place, and it takes wicked people to make it like that.
Well, oh, dear,
oh, my goodness.
Dear.
Reverend Parsons, what's the matter? I never meant to say anything to make you feel bad.
No, it's all right, Mrs. Babcock. It's just, well, I had what seemed like a wonderful idea when I woke up this morning, and I'm beginning to wonder if I wasn't taking too much for granted.
Yesterday, the Reverend Parsons had found a letter waiting for him. Troubled and disturbed by it, he had made his way, as he often did, to the home of a quiet, gentle man, with whom he had found many ties of sympathy and understanding.
Good Sabbath, Rabbi Harber.
Oh, Reverend Parsons, good to see you. Come, join me on the porch.
Ah.
You look warm, my friend.
Oh, this heat seems like nothing after reading this letter from New York.
You've had bad news from the city?
Yes.
There are more difficulties in the way of your great desire, huh?
My great desire?
Why, the foreign missions assignment you hoped for.
Oh, yes, I have a call to travel. No, this letter is from a friend of mine who's still working the Bowery Mission where I worked when I was a student.
Oh, yes?
It seems they're having a heat wave in New York, too.
Yes. I see why you look unhappy. It's hard to sit here in comfort and know that all the while there are so many in such misery.
My friend wrote about some of the children I'd known there. Joey Verdoni, a little Italian lad whom I can't think of anyway, but on the move. He was always as full of energy and high spirits as a monkey. And now...
Now what, my friend?
Well, now, McAuliffe writes Joey was sick last winter. Pneumonia. And small wonder, considering the cellar room where the whole Verdoni family lives. Joey pulled through, but he's just a pack of skin and bones now and does nothing but sit on the curb all day long.
He'll be a long time getting well again in the heat and stench of the Bowery.
If only he could have just a little of the fresh air and sunshine that we take for granted.
Yes.
If only I had a house of my own instead of just boarding as I do. I'd bring him out here till he got well. And I wouldn't stop with Joey. I'd bring Lottie, too, and Jakey, and... Wait a minute.
Yes?
Rabbi Harber.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it just came to me. Now, Sherman is full of generous, hospitable folks. Suppose I ask them if they wouldn't open their homes to some of the children for a couple of weeks.
My friend, what a wonderful idea.
You like it, Rabbi Harber? You think they might agree, some of them, anyway?
Well, why not, my friend? They're generous, hospitable folk, as you said.
Yes.
But, wait, we forget. How do the children get here?
I'll go get them and take them back.
And their fares. Your salary is not large. Wait. Let me contribute to their fares.
You'd be willing to?
Yes.
All right, and thank you, Rabbi. And then, if by some happy chance I can find invitations for more than one or two children, I have friends in the city who'd contribute too, I know.
Now, there you see. Oh, it is a great idea you've had today, my friend. An idea to be proud of.
Well, you sound so very pleased, Rabbi, as though it would help such a lot if one or two Bowery children get out into the country for a few weeks. But it's not really anything at all when you think of the thousands there.
My friend, may I quote you some words of the Talmud? He who sustains a single life, it is as though he sustained the whole world. Each of those children is a whole world, my friend, reflecting the God who made him. Help but one of them. It's not too little.
Thank you, Rabbi. You're right, of course. If I can just get Joey out here and fill him full of fresh air and sunshine, give him a view of what life can be like so he can go back armed with a vision,
it would be enough, my friend.
All right. And this is what I preach about tomorrow. Joey and the other Bowery children are the subject of my sermon.
But that had been yesterday. Now, June 3rd, 1877, the young minister sat in the Babcock kitchen, face to face with the old country distrust of cities, city folks, and city ways. He saw himself standing in the pulpit of the little Sherman church in an hour or so, eagerly expounding his idea, and then finding only blank hostility on all the faces of his congregation. Slowly, he finished his breakfast.
Well, you didn't eat too much, Reverend. Thinking about your sermon?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Yes, I guess you'd say so. Mrs. Babcock, your feeling about city people, it doesn't extend to the children, too, does it? You know, children are children anywhere.
Oh, they learn the ways of wickedness mighty young in the city, though.
Well, yes, I know. The stories you read about the city make a lot out of all that. But I knew children in the Bowery who had been exposed to all sorts of evil influences without it touching them.
Reverend Parsons, what is all this about New York and the Bowery this morning? You haven't talked about anything else since you came down to breakfast.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Babcock. I was sort of testing out an idea, and now I guess it's just as well I did. Well, thank you for a good breakfast. I guess I'd better get ready for church myself.
Reverend, another hot day.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Jones. Yes, it is, isn't it?
Deacon Early and I went in and opened all the windows in the church. Thought we'd let in what air we could.
Oh, fine, fine. Thank you, Mr.
Jones. Whoa! Whoa!
Reverend Paul.
What? Rabbi Haber.
I do not keep you a moment. I was on my way to visit Mrs. Rosenstein and I saw you here.
Oh.
you're all ready with a sermon that will launch your great idea?
Oh, well, Rabbi, all of a sudden, I'm not sure anymore.
Not sure?
Well, not because I'm afraid it wouldn't help enough children, Rabbi. What you said about that was true, I know. But
what then, my friend? I have no right to question you. This is your sermon, your flock. I will drive
on. No, wait a minute. I'd like to try to tell you, if I get up in the pulpit and make a suggestion such as we talked about, perhaps I'm imposing on my authority as a minister. People who are dead set against it may feel that they have to ask a child out here just because I ask it. And doing it in that spirit...
What makes you think they'd be set against it?
Not a soul in this congregation has ever traveled to New York. Rabbi, it's a symbol of vice and wickedness to them.
Yes, of course. And it is so close to home, too.
What do you mean by that?
It is so easy to feel pity for sinners far from home. So easy to love a stranger.
Yes.
But so much harder to love those who are hardly strangers at all.
Good morning, Reverend Parsons. Rabbi Haber, isn't it? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Strange.
I do declare today'd be a fine day for one of your foreign mission sermons.
Well,
talk
I'm
about
not
lands
sure.
Of the burning sun today, and they wouldn't seem so far away as they sometimes do.
Oh, I guess not.
Though I must say, you have a gift for making those faraway places seem not so far away after all.
Well, thank
I
you.
Often tell Mr. Reynolds, we're lucky to have a minister who does do that. We live awful shut in out here in the hills. Need to hear about the world outside.
Yes.
Well, I'd best be getting in. Good day, Rabbi Haber.
Good day, ma'am. We live awful shut in out here. No. I talk too much. I must be going along.
No, wait. I make faraway places seem not so far away. Places like Africa and China. But I hesitate to talk to them about New York and the children here. Rabbi, maybe I'm the one who's found it easier to love a stranger. I'm going to give the sermon I planned.
The church bell rang, and the rabbi smiled as he drove away. Inside the little church, the young minister stood in the pulpit to begin his sermon.
Today, on this warm summer morning, I'd like to tell you about some children I know. Children who are seeing a very different summer than we are. To tell you about their summer, I have to take you to a very unpleasant street. New York's Bowery.
Pots, ferns, kettles, kitchens,
and the Bowery, the Bowery. They say, look out there, Sonny. Stay out of my way.
I'd like to tell you about Joey Verdoni now. Joey's manners may leave something to be desired, but Joey's courage and high spirits, no, never.
Cry? Because that big bully knocked me down? Not Joey Verdoni, Reverend. Besides, look, I fell into that cart there. And look what I found. A banana. A whole of fine banana.
But, Joey, it's all squashed.
I don't complain when I find a banana. Look, here's a place not brown at all. You want a bite there, Reverend?
And then there's Lottie. Lottie, who loves flowers.
Look, Reverend, it fell off a funeral car, and I got it. Is it a rose? A real rose?
And Jake. Jake, who has never seen a cow in his life.
That's a picture of a cow? I never knew they were so big. Do they bite?
And so, I'm asking if you can find it in your heart to open your homes to some of these children and have them as your guests for a week or so. Even a week of fresh air and sunshine will be a priceless gift, a gift of health and a vision of a better world than any they've known. And I ask you to give this gift to them, if you can.
Reverend Parsons, when I think how I was talking only this morning, could you fix it so I could have that poor young Joy stay with me?
It's that poor child Lottie who broke my heart. Me, with a yard full of flowers nobody even notices. Could I have Lottie, Reverend Parsons?
That youngster you called Jake, Reverend. I've got some cows you can get acquainted with. Some of their milk might do them good, too.
Reverend, we want Kevin.
Could we have Mary stay with us, Reverend?
Well, it sounds as though you want all of them.
Well, of course we do. I'd take them all myself if I had the room.
Not Lottie. I want Lottie. Yeah. When can you go get her? And all the rest of them, Reverend.
When? Well, I'll go tomorrow.
Oh, good.
And leaving time for arrangements in the city, I'll be back with all nine of them by Wednesday. You're sure now, all of you?
Sure? Of course we are.
Bless you for showing us how much we have that we can share.
The next day, June the 4th, 1877, the Reverend Parsons left for New York. And on Wednesday, he was back with nine incredulous, breathless children, who were met by nine expectant families. Now came the real test. How would these children of another world fit in with the quiet country life of Sherman? The days passed.
Did you see the way Joey ate this morning, Reverend Parsons, and the color he has in his face?
Yes, he's a changed boy since he got out here, Mrs. Babcock. Where is he now? Out with Jemmy?
Oh, they're out burying together. Jemmy never in his life thought burying was a lark until he saw how wonderful it was to Joey. My land, that youngster's doing my Jemmy a world of good.
And vice versa, Miss Babcock.
Well, all I can say is this was the best idea you ever had, Reverend. Oh, has Mrs. Polk spoken to you yet?
As a matter of fact, she has. She wonders if there aren't some more children in the Bowery who could use a summer vacation.
Oh, she wants some of the satisfaction of seeing a youngster just bloom and come to life. There are more, aren't there?
More? There are thousands.
Thousands? Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, I know anyways five people who'd like it fine if you could bring back children for them when you take these back. Though, lands, I dread saying goodbye to Joey.
I've heard from 10 who want me to bring children to stay with him. Oh. I've written to more of my friends in the city to see if I can't collect fares for that many more.
Oh, you know something, Reverend. I've an idea you could spend the whole summer doing nothing but going back and forth from the city, fetching children out here.
Well, there are only 50 people in all of Sherman, Mrs. Babcock. If I bring back 10 or more, That's 19 you will have entertained. Mm-hmm. A pretty high average for a town of 50, I'd say. Sustain one life, the rabbi said, and you sustain a world. Who'd have dreamed we could sustain 19?
The young minister still had no idea of what he had begun on June 3rd, 1877. As it turned out, he did spend that summer going back and forth between Sherman and the city, till the tiny town in the hills had been host to 60 Bowery children. And this was still only the beginning. By the next summer, the word had spread, and families all over the countryside wanted to do their share of entertaining.
So, how does the fundraising go, my friend?
Fine, Rabbi, fine. I was frightened when I realized I'd already asked all my friends for money. But they spread the word to others, and now all sorts of people are contributing for railroad fare for the children this summer.
It's taking a good bit of your time just the same, isn't it?
Well,
what is the latest word on your application for a foreign missions post?
Actually, I haven't had time to check with the board for a month or so. This thing has become a full-time job for a while.
Watch out, it does not become a life work.
No danger. I'll be off to Africa one of these days, or China.
I'm not so sure, my friend. I'm beginning to think your own heart answers our old argument about the need of traveling to far places to do good. Your own heart knows the first law of all. Love thy neighbor.
'81. The Fresh Air Fund established offices in New York City, and hundreds of children were sent to the country for fresh air vacations. The next year, more went, and the next year, more. And the Fresh Air Fund was the Reverend Willard Parsons' life work till the day he died in 1907. Since then, sponsored by the New York Herald Tribune and hundreds of devoted men and women, it has continued to grow. Till now, in 1956, more than 800,000 children had known the joys of summer through the Fresh Air Fund. Today, June the 3rd, 1956... many things are different from what they were on June 3rd, 1877. But the misery of New York slums remains, and the need of its children to escape them, to find sustenance in the fresh air of the country. This year, 100,000 and more of them will, thanks to what happened June 3rd, 1877.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Daniel G. Albert, Chairman of the Metropolitan New York Cabinet of the National Planning Committee and member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Albert.
As I listened to this story of the task performed by the Reverend Parsons, I could not help but think of all the Bowerys that exist in this world and of all the little Joeys and the Lotties and the Jakes who lived in them and who were in need of aid. This story merely depicts the lack of understanding that exists today amongst people and nations alike. The lack of understanding undoubtedly due to a lack of knowledge amongst us. Knowledge and understanding are necessary partners. Given knowledge, we acquire understanding. And with the acquisition of understanding, we open the gates of our minds and our hearts to cope with and find solutions to urgent and pressing problems. Mrs. Babcock, the country mother, although good at heart, classified the Bowery and all of New York City and its people as drunks, thieves, and killers, worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. So also must have been the feelings of the other good citizens of the country village of Sherman. But when Reverend Parsons educated these people to the problems of the underprivileged, whose only crime was poverty, knowledge led to understanding, and they soon opened their hearts and their homes to little Joey, Lottie, and Jake. John Donne, an English clergyman and poet, once wrote, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. The prime movers of the power age have woven mankind far closer together than ever was the case when John Doane wrote his immortal lines 3 centuries ago. Now the atomic bomb and the promise or threat of atomic energy have made all of us our brother's keepers in a very special and terrible sense. Hitler, loose on the planet, could devastate half a continent. The next madman in control of a considerable nation could blow up the world. Mankind is now confronted with a common enemy, the ignorance and confusion in men's hearts. Hence the lack of understanding between men and nations alike and their common problems, and as long as there is no understanding, there can be no solution. Whether it be the segregation problem in the South, the Israeli-Arab dispute in the Middle East, or the many vexing problems between the Soviet and the Western world, there can be no solution until there is mutual understanding. And unless enough of us can realize that the bell tolls for all of us, some other race of animals will have to take over if there is any living environment to take. Reverend Parsons points the way to the solution. Surely this minister must have had in mind the golden rule of human conduct when he preached the sermon that enlightened the minds and opened the hearts of his congregation to his little friends from the Bowery. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this command, found in chapter 19 of Leviticus, applies to classes and nations as well as individuals. And if only applied by them, it could lead to the solution of many of the seemingly imponderable problems of the day. Thus it was that the sermon preached by the Reverend Parsons in a small Pennsylvania community on June 3, 1877, led the way to the noteworthy task being performed yearly by the Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund, with the help of thousands of Americans whose knowledge and understanding of the problems of underprivileged children have opened their hearts and their pocketbooks to this worthy cause.
Thank you, Mr. Albert. Eternal Light Drama Today, another June 3rd, was written by Marion Voigt. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Jack Manning, Alice Yeoman, and Guy Repp. Your narrator was Bert Kelton. This is Mel Brandt. This weekly program is directed by Daniel Sutter and presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.